Okay. We were up to hats, right? Hats are very, very important in modern Judaism. But we'll stick with the Hilchos Shabbos aspect. Here's a Gemara. Right, Kofa Mechesim Beis, right in the middle of all the other Ohel Machlokos, all the other Ohel Sugyas. There's a big Gemara about wearing hats on Shabbos, right? It's called Siyana. And then the Gemara says at first that hat is Asur because it's an Ohel, right? Because it makes an Ohel in front of your face. And then, not so clear, how to read the Shakataria. The Gemara says, oh, it's a seer with the rest of the problem. It's a tefah. It's also, it was the tefah. Have to be an ovel. But if so, how about if your talus on your head, your blima, your cloak goes a tefah out? Would you say that's also that's ridiculous? Well, really low kasha. The mahadik called the low mihadik. It has something to do with being mahadik, which is stuck, let's say. What does that word mahadik mean? Is a tremendous machlokas between, for example, Rashi and Rebbeinu Tam. Rashi said the maskana of the Gemara is there's no ohel by hats. Clothing is not an ohel. Clothing is mukta from an ohel. So what's mahadik bo mahadik? It's rather reminiscent of peret, the me'isha. What it means is if it's tightly on your head, then we're not afraid it'll fall off. But if it's loosely on your head, then it might fall off. And once it might fall off, you might carry it. Dalaramas pushes to Rabin. So mahadik is what's mutter, lo mahadik is what's usher. Rabbeinu Tam says no. Rabbeinu Tam says that it's really, there is such thing as an ohel when it comes to hats. Mahadik means that it's like, had a hard shape. Here he quotes, sorry, Rabbeinu Hananel, Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Hananel. Ohel, right? If it is firm, if it's firm, then it looks like an ohel. It seems to be that store fun, it just looks like an ohel. But if it's not firm, if it's floppy, then it doesn't look like an ohel. So that is the machlokes. Let's just put this on the board. Here we have Rashi. And here we have Rabbeinu Hananel, who joins each of these opinions in the Beis Yosef. He quotes the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rosh and the Rambam, who are like the Rabbeinu Hananel, like Tosfos, basically Tosfos, Rosh and the Rambam, and the Ran, who is like Rashi, right? Rashi and the Ran and Tosfos and Rosh and the Rambam. What's the Yesod? What's the so is that there's no ohel by clothing. Let's try this better. Clothing is not an ohel. Ohel means something you're not wearing. Something you're wearing is not an ohel. However, no, clothing can be an ohel. And then, how do they explain Mahadik and Lo Mahadik? Here they're opposites, right? Rashi says Mahadik is mutter because what does it mean? Means that it is on tight. Mutter, because won't fall. Lo mahadik means it's on loosely, and therefore it's aser because it might fall, and who cares it might fall, and you will carry it. Right, Shemayam. While Rabbi Hanan, Tosfos, etc., say no. Mehadik means it is firm. And that's what's awesome, right? They have the opposite of awesome mutter because it's like an ohel. Lo mehadik means it's floppy. And that's mutter
because it's not like an ohel. Because if it's floppy, then it looks more like clothing than like ohel. Okay, that is the machlokas. How do we paskin? If you open up your handy dandy Shulchan Aruch, the Semi Shin Aleph, it's actually interesting. The Machaber paskins here, maybe my reports are a little misleading. How did the Machaber paskin? He paskins like both the Chumra. He paskins like both the Chumra. Why? In Sif Mem, he paskins like Rabbi Yochanan al Chumra. And in Sif Mem Aleph, he paskins like Rashi al Chumra. Right? In Sif Mem, he says, Kova Shumas Pasha la Halami Rosha Tapach. Kova goes to Tapach. Also, you're not allowed to wear it on your head. Even in the house, meaning why in the house when there's no shashim carry, we show So that is, but he also possibly from like Rashi and Aleph, but that's not our topic now. Lot says b'shabbos b'kovish of Rosh Hashanah b'hagim bnei afama yesh misha oser misham. Here it's a yesh misha oser misham the chashinan she yag bihenu aruch mirosh b'asul asu yedalam shidurav. So afraid it might blow off and you'll carry it for amos shidurav. Elam kain huma hodin rosh unless it's on top. If it's on top of the verses motor, and then he throws in some other things that the Rishon just said, Misara, oh, shoot, Amok, Shiroshu, Nicholas, the Soho, even if it's not tight, if it's deep and your whole head fits into it, it's unlikely to blow off. Bein Ruch, Yechol, Abid, Marosho, Oshu, Kasha, Ritu, Taxi, Brono, or, you know, like some of those cowboy hats that are tied under your head, so they pour those bonnets, right? It can't fall off. Oh, shoot, Vizdevahaki, Leka, Lemecha, Shlimbi, then you don't have to worry about anything. The Achronim also add, that if you don't have another yarmulke under your hat, then it's also mutter, because we're not afraid you'll carry your hat, because why would you walk without a yarmulke? Okay, but we're not going to deal with Sif Mem Aleph. That's about Hotsa'a and Lamaisa. The Minhag Olam seems to not to be so makbid on these things, because the Minhag Olam is that nowadays you don't have a real Shasa Rabin. So we're going to leave Mem Aleph. We'll stick with Mem. Is it Bain in the hat, Bain outdoors? Is it an Ohel to wear the hat? So the Mechaber is Machmir, right? And this is, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, this would be Shin Aleph, Mem Aleph, and this would be Shin Aleph, Mem. Oh, so what was the question? To be very, very short and to the point, what's the question that all the Achronim have in the Shulchan Aruch?
Does he say?
No, he does. In Sif Mem, he says, he does not. That's a good point. But I don't know if that's the main question. The main question is, why do we all wear hats on Shabbos?
Right.
Why do we all wear hats on Shabbos? Everyone wore hats on Shabbos. So why do they all wear hats on Shabbos? So that's where everyone was wondering why we wear hats on Shabbos. And there are basically two types of answers. Either that really don't like Rashi, or that our hats are different than the Gemara's hats, and therefore even Reina Chanana would be Mako. For example, in the Magen Avraham, he says here, our kovaim are mutter, right? He says our hats are mutter because, and he comes up with a new svara, right? The kovim shalom shari d'mishu parim aholchin clapping mata, because our hats are slanted. Only straight hats look like an ohel. Our hats are slanted, and therefore they don't look like an ohel. The assumption seems to be that either in Hanan admits that the oraisa hat's not an ohel. He just thinks the darbonim is dummy the ohel, and therefore, but if it's slanted, it looks more like clothing than an ohel. That is what that is what the Magen Avraham says. That's that. And then he says a little later, he says, give me a second. Nearly. One second. Right? Basically, if it's very hard, then you should put it slanted. What's he saying? If it's not so hard, it's mutter. But if it's hard, you should put it slanted. And then he says at the end, though, so that's one. The answer is, what are the integrum?
What's the heter slanted exactly?
The heter slanted, the core is because only we draw a button that it looks like an ohel. And if it's slanted, it looks more like clothing. So all your clothing like drapes down slanted. If it's straight, it looks more like an ohel. So just because it's only Darbanan, so it depends how it looks.
You mean slanted is a heter with clothing. It's not like
anything. With clothing, not with a roof.
Correct. What's the theorem number one is if it is not so hard. Okay, exactly what is so hard, Yishlayin. Number two is this is a finish among the broad, not that he invented it, but it's the correct way you can see it in the Achronim slanted. And number three, the Magen Avraham is three, a Teirim. Pabachos of Hecha, the Nog, Heter, Karashi, Nog, the Kakos of Maril, the Hatir. The Maril and the Bach were making like Rashi. The Bach says in the Mokko, that the Medic is like Rashi. So, right? So, Mokko, Shenahagu, Kirashi, Nog. Meaning, where the Medic is like Rashi, that's okay. That is the Bach and the Maril and the Magen Avraham. The Taz also discusses this, and the Taz wonders why everyone is makel on hats. The Taz in Sivkatan Bav Zion has a long discussion of this, without getting into too many of the details. He says, "Pisa, you would think our hats are usher, but then he says he thinks there's no problem." Says it's only us if there's a hat and the hat has a separate brim attached to it that is clearly for the sake of ohel. But our hats, he says, it's all one piece, just that it sticks out. If it's all one piece, it just sticks out, then that's not what they meant to ask you. They meant to ask you, there's a separate hat and a separate and there's a separate brim. Exactly how to exactly how to be magged with this, it's not clear because I don't know what his hats look like, but he seems pretty clear there that what he's saying is that our hats just they have to be big because they'll fall off the other side of your head. They have to be big, and then you put your head in the middle, and then there's some extra. That's only meant to ask for. They meant to ask for when they put a separate brim. They sew a separate brim onto it. Of course, that wouldn't help for our hats. Our hats all, they make a hat, and then they make a separate brim. But I guess for his hats, that would be a heter. So what does the Taz say? The Taz says, hats, one-piece hats without an attached brim. Okay, I don't know how much that would help. I mean, we have to see how much that would help our contemporary hats, right? And then, right, it doesn't look like an OL. It just looks like part of your hat is sticking out. He adds something else at the end here. At the end of the Taz, he says, V'su, kainlik rishim davashim skavim motor, and also his kavana is not for an oval. That's just, again, this might have to do with the type of hats he had. If the type of hat you've had, maybe someone can do historical research, he says, well, it just has to be big, and then you have to put your head in the middle, and then maybe you stuff on the side. Don't imagine our borsellinos, where they make this part of it, and they make this part of it, and you sew it together. So somehow he says, don't shame miscapping. You are not trying to make it ohel. That's just like a side effect of your wearing a hat. He says the same thing, by the way, in Simshin Tesvav, which we left last time. He, in Simshin Tesvav, Sivkatan Ches, the Taz discusses the same thing. And he discusses why it's mutter to wear a hat. And he says, towards the end there, he says, he quotes Rashi Tosos, Dovashim Miskaving. He says, but on our hats, Eino Miskaving Klal also Chilashav Ohel. You're not Miskaving at all to make the Ohel. You mean it just happens when you put on the hat, some extra sticks off. Shein Miskaving Lachasos Roshav Ohel Nasim Emela, Mashein Gibb Kovashav Talmud, Shinasa Ohel Miskaving the Ohel. Says, you're not Miskaving to the Ohel, says the Taz. At the end here, briefly, and also in Simon Shin Tesla, also. Eino miskaven lechelek hamayil.
You are not trying to make an ohel. You are just trying to wear hats, and so that kavanah doesn't count. Now here it does get a little tricky, because why isn't this a shreisha? Oh, she didn't mean that it might or might not stick out. Okay, so you're going to explain yourself here. It could be, you know, going back to the truest edition of there's no maybe since only Darabana, there's no separation. That means that this kind of Darabana, where it just looks like an Obel, but if it's the total Darabana, that looks more like clothing than an Obel. Or because it now here it's a little, that once you don't have kavana for the protection of it, once you don't have kavana for the protection of it, then it's like the table, and the table is much better if you didn't create the walls, etc. Okay, good. That's even better, Hesper. Okay, these are basically the Hesberim in the Akronim. What does the Mishnah Berurah say? Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah here in Sif Katan. Which is a cut in which works. Mishan Aleph, Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan, Kuf Nun. Kuf Nun. Aleph, Kuf Nun Beis. What does he say? He says, only if it's very hard and doesn't flop, then it's like an OL. Otherwise, then it's just like a cloak, which the Gemara was clearly was clearly matter. And then he says in Kuf Nun Beis, he says, Asher Midrabana, because Lachor, there's not a machlokus d'oraisa, right? What's he assuming? But we have the oil of Midrabana. Midrabana, everyone agrees this is not option. Okay. It's only a question whether we're building Midrabana, which is why we have so many kulas. And then he points out, says the Mishnah Berurah, how about our britlach, that's the Yiddish word for the kovah they all wore. He says, everyone wears it. The achronim wrote many studim lahatir. One side is that it's not so hard. Okay, but apparently that depended. Some people had harder ones, they put in cardboard, some people didn't. And then even if it is hard, right, you're not miscaving for the tail. That's the taz. And likewise, if it's slanted, it's mutter, you know, it's not in the Gemara, it's in the Rishonim. And the Elio Rama wrote, because our minag is like Rashi, in which case, all hats are mutter, even if you don't have any of the other ones, and therefore in limfos makshvenogim lahachel ach etc. And therefore, people who are making like Rashi, you do not have to object. But makom shalonogim like this place where they weren't knowing the vaday geish lahachem gedas hashulchan art. So, what does the Mishnah Berurah bring down? The Mishnah Berurah said, "What did I say? Kofnun beis." He says, "This is a heter. This is a heter. This is a heter." He doesn't really discuss this. And he says, this is a question mark, meaning this you go to the Elion Rabbah, right? The Elion Rabbah says it's our place. So Taka, what's the din? What's the Mishnah Berurah's Pshara? The Mishnah Berurah's Pshara is that Akra'as Mishnah Berurah between Rashi and Rabbeinu Hanano is that Bim Makom Shenagu Kerashi Ein Limtos, but I don't know how to write this. Bim makom she'ein minhag yesh lahachmir al hova kasha b'yoser I'm safe, it's not slanted. What? Be'ein v'shupa, fine.
Be'kavanaso l'tzel.
Be'kavanaso l'tzel.
Each one of those would be a heter.
Correct. Okay. Let's bring that down to modern times. Modern times, there is a big difference between Kuftan Beis. Big difference in Haredim and modern Orthodox. Not in terms of the Pesach, in terms of the Metzias. Why? Because says Rebbe Yoshev, quoting the Orpah Shabbos, Rebbe Yoshev makes a good point about the, I mean, we all know the difference. What's the difference between a modern Orthodox person wearing a hat and a Haredi person wearing a hat? Why does a modern Orthodox person wear a hat? Because to protect himself from the influence, right? Meaning, like the original reason a hat, right? Why does a Haredi person wear a hat? I don't know. The last thing is to protect yourself from the elements because you can't let your hat get wet, right? It can ruin the hat if it gets wet, et cetera. I mean,
you don't protect your hat from the elements. Your hat certainly doesn't protect you from the elements. You don't wear it for shade or for protection from the rain or from the cold or anything else. You wear it for hat, right? Why do you wear a strangle? Yeah. I'd like to assume that once upon a time someone took fur and made an actual hat that like covered your head and kept you warm back in Russia and Poland X 100 years ago. And then it sort of evolved that very fancy people started wearing ones that just had a lot of fur around here, like sort of symbolically reminded you of the hat, but just showed they were fancy. And then that's what took off among Hasidim, and once upon a time even among not Hasidim. And that's why no one wears strangles during the week. Because strangles started as a fancy, you know, parallel to an actual useful practical. So they were a way to show coverage to some session. Hey, you're a rabbi, maybe you're real every day. I have no idea what they did. And otherwise, you were on Shabbos and, you know, and Chol HaMoed and Yom HaAtzmaut, et cetera. There aren't rabbis anymore. Once upon a time, there were rabbis who were in Yom HaAtzmaut. Okay, but that's a different inya. If you look in the Aruch HaShabbos, where is the, 1 second, I neglected to write down where it is. Here we are. Aruch HaShabbos, Perek Tes, Halacha Mem Dalet, a kola that has a brim, a tefach. Of course, if your brim's not a tefach, then there's never a problem, right? Because nothing sokha less than a tefach. But if your brim is a tefach, and it's even, but it's made of felt or something that's very hard. Some poskim thought it was usher to wear it on Shabbos, but the name of Hakel and it's pashut that it is mutter. And he writes, I heard from Rabbi Yashiv that why is the minig Hakel? He says, based on the Taz, he says, some of our hats are very hard. He gets wonder each hat, is it very hard or not very hard? You know, certainly, you know, the chashuv rabbi's hats are very straight, are very hard. Even the regular Borsellino type, you know, the fedoras, that's the name of that style. Borsellino is a company, fedoras, the style of hat that regular Jewish people wear. Sometimes it could be, some of them are pretty hard, the brim. Is it slanted or straight? Borderline, you know, might depend on hat to hat. So he's not going to say, I give you a hat because they're all soft or they're all slanted. Because they're different than hat from the belt. So I give you a hat based on the Taz. No one's top on it is. Everyone's Havanah is for fashion. None of them are wearing it for any protection whatsoever. Right? Maharaj, what the weather is, right? How can you say you wear it for shade? We wear the same hat when it's cloudy, right? Obviously, it's only for a fashion statement. So therefore, it's mutter because your Havanah is not for sale. It's taka, a good point. You know, it clearly has nothing to do with an ohel. It's just for fashion. All right, yeah. You wear it regardless of the weather. And everyone knows you wear it for fashion, not for not any fashion. I mean fashion of worshiping you know, certain hashivas and belonging, etc. So that's a good answer, but he starts with, he says, that he quotes the Elia Rabbah. So Rabbi Yerbi also deals with this. Rabbi Yerbi goes for Rabbi Yashin. He says, if you're talking about Haredi hats, then Pashut it's Munter based on the Taz. I'm just going to say that tomorrow, but that's Pashut Munter. What if you're talking about other hats? What if someone wears a baseball cap? Pashtus, people who wear baseball caps, wear baseball caps for protection from the elements. Now, it could be there are some people who wear baseball caps for fashion, right? But I think most. Probably, you know, I would venture to say most Orthodox Jews wear baseball caps. Wear the baseball cap for protection. I don't wear a baseball cap. I'm sure there's some people who wear a Mets cap. They always wear a Mets cap just to show, you know, like some people wear hats, show they're part of the Yeshiva belt to show they hold from the Mets. Okay. Or I have no idea what kind of hats. But not just you wear a hat. Like, I wear a baseball cap if I'm going outside. And there's no sun, there's no rain, there's no wind, etc. I only wear a baseball cap if it's sunny to protect my eyes from the sun, or to protect my face from getting sunburned, etc. Or if it's, you know, I mean, okay. Sometimes I will wear a hat just for my yarmulke.
in which case I'm not intending to bring. I just want the half key. But yeah, the bread is just on stuff because I have half they sell. But most people, and certainly when people wear like those big cowboy hats and stuff. So some people wear cowboy hats for style, but or straw hats, etc. But most people wear them for protection from the elements, right? Whatever. I mean, my daughter has a big straw hat with a brim that's a tefach. She's single. She only wears the big straw hat when it's sunny outside to protect her from the sunburn. Right? There are a lot of people hats like this. And many people who don't wear hats for religious reason only put on hats to protect themselves from the elements. And then you can say your problem is for the oil. That's a problem. You know, why do I wear a straw hat or a cowboy hat and not a ski cap? I don't know, because I want something to protect my face from the sun. Right? That is exactly, then you don't have to the task. Then the only hatter is, again, maybe it's hard, maybe it's not, some of them are hard, and many of them are straight. Then the only hatter is that we, Elio Rapa, that our places, our minhag is like Rashi. And here, the Orcha Shavis is a little masochic about this. Wataka is our minhag. I mean, it's very hard to say our in Rabbi Ribiat. I think.
That's pretty sure. So.
And there are different kinds of straw hats. Some of them are more soft, but even though they don't flop, I don't know. It's all different kinds. You know, it's a case-by-case basis. I don't want to stereotype. But Rabbi Ribiat says here, page 1082, and with that we'll end this, he says, as some people say, such a many Mishonim Latter-day Poskim contend the entire premise of old does not apply to garments. That's Rashi. And thus a hat can be worn. And in any case, Borsellinos are no problem because they're only for style. So I mean, like, add to real Yashiv, first he says, basically, that our minhag is like Rashi. So here it's 100% clear. Like, I don't have anyone, you know, he's a little equivocal. He's not but many posts from Armiko. And in any case, you know, we don't worry about for style. And the Orcha Shabbos says, well, it's totally mutter. There's the Taz and there's the Elio Rabba. And then here from real Yashiv, it's because of the Taz. And he says, and therefore, us might be if someone has a straw hat or a baseball cap or something. Then Sarfina. So Lemaisa, what do we see? If we have a where did Rivian end? He seemed to make his main deal like the only rabbit. If you have a fedora, then it's mutter either way. But if you have a hat only. If you have a hat for style, which is, again, the only kind of hat that's really makol in the Haredi world, if you have a hat for style, then it's worth it either way. So you assume style is the talatavs. Hat only for protection. Then, if you like Elio Rabba, it's mutter. If you hold not like the Elio Rabba, then it is usser, said Mr. Brewer. But it's better not. We make a lot of our goal. No one short. Everyone leaves towards Elio Rabba, leaves a little bit of Sarpio. I think the Minhag HaOlam is clearly like the Elio Rabba. This would be the Minhag HaOlam. Get back to Rashi against the Machaber. Follow every Machaber. However, certainly, is one of the last pair. Basically, all baseball caps have a brim that's a tefach and is hard and is pretty straight. So basically, what will happen there would be just that we're baseball caps and Shabbos. So Yesh Vakam La'af here, not to wear baseball caps and Shabbos, or want to buy a special Shabbos baseball cap and bring us would not be the standard baseball cap, or something like that. But it would be a humra to, since we're not sure our minutes, even when you started, like, all sort of leave it sort of even or have, like, formulations that lean one way but not 100% clear. Lemites is a many older that people wear all kinds of hats, like the Elio Rabba, going back to Rashi. However, it would be good for me. Many people disagree with Rashi, Machaber disagree with Rashi, and it's hard to say to show what our minhag is. So it's going to be a to not wear a baseball cap on Shabbos.
We use this as a thing with Hagel, but I know this came up. Might come up with glasses also, that like it starts off as something functional, but then it turns into being similar to that, it turns into something used as.
I think most people put on baseball caps are pretty non-functional.
why this one is close to the other.
Right.
And they got their nice Mets hat as opposed to
It's so posture. Basically, if a guy would wear his MAGA hats, you know, whatever the weather was, just because, you know, he wants to show his affiliation, today or not, that would be like the test. For the he has a MAGA hat and not, I don't know the opposite of a MAGA hat is. Not a, I don't know, George Soros hat, but whatever. He has not a Biden 2020 hat. He has a MAGA hat. But he only wears it when it's sunny outside. Just once it's sunny outside, he takes the MAGA hat because he's after the population. He's still wearing the elements, right? He's still wearing the elements. The fact that, obviously, you know, if I wear a baseball cap for the elements, I'm still going to wear a baseball cap that says, you know, Nefesh to Nefesh. Oh, that's going to be great. But still, when I go to the little Arab shop in the stall in the shop, when, like, I'm stuck with that hat and it's very sunny or rainy, I'm going to buy the one that says Jerusalem, not, like, from the river to the sea. Because I want to show my affiliation. But nonetheless, only wearing it when the weather demands, then I'm okay. I don't think baseball hats are slanted or what they mean by slanted. They're pretty straight. It's hard to tell, but the curve is slight. The curve is slight. And how slanted does it have to be sliced? Right? So I admit I'm not sure. Yay, schmuck lockdown because you know we don't have the word that's slanted. It's hard to tell exactly where it is. You should start it again.
Didn't we say previously you can cover something with a tree, even if it's your intent for an OL, because you're not making an OL, you're just like overturning an OL, unless it's very big. We're not having that thing.
Meaning, why isn't it the same as turning over a pot, right? A pot is less than 40 sod, right? Turning over a pot onto something. So here, it's a small tree that I'm just overturning onto something. So why wouldn't we say the same thing? And
yes, you see it first.
Just you can overturn the pots, right? Like in Kisei Prasco, the mission were mentioned, or maybe it was in Bir Alacha, where it was. Bir Alacha definitely mentioned it. So why don't we say you're not doing anything? So I think the answer is going to be because that was a plea whose main point was not to be an OL. Here, you're not doing it, you're just putting something up whose main point is to be an OL. And then that becomes more controversial because that's like, you know, those things we have to protect us from the sun during the corona? The tent falls down and you just pick it back up. So that's not sufficient. So why isn't this like? So it's interesting. Could it be that in the Gemara's hat was more like you made the hat, you didn't just like put it on. Maybe their hat you had to like make the hat specially. That's what it was the last thing. And our hats, you never have to like make the bread. Maybe there it is. They made the bread. It's more than just putting it on. Here's just putting it on. Maybe that would be a hula, but even. So you know what? The truth is that would be a good sign of Hakel. Except for keep in mind that many of them said the Chokhom much more super covered and not for protection of the elements, right? Maybe the Chokhom was indoors. There were no elements. So I think you're right. If you assume that the header of not doing anything applies even the shape of hell, then
why isn't putting out baby?
What?
Why didn't putting out that baby? Just like bringing
Or maybe this is different. So like you're putting it on a pole for your head. The truth is, you're right. Zachary's right. I don't think that was going to work here because that's like just taking a root and putting it on a pole. No one said that. And here, the pole is all in a piece. Here, you're headed to the pole. This is the roof, and you're putting it on. So you're really attaching things.
So I don't think your question is correct. Okay, fine. So that's hats. The mice of the minigolem is like Rashi. Meaning we go back before the Shulchan Aruch, we undo the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, but certainly Yeshmak and Lahathmir for those who want to be more Machmir, and then you'd be careful
like to not wear a hat with a brim of a tefach unless you have one of these other pulas.
Would you be rude with anyone to say that it would be asana? Because he doesn't believe it. But that's about it.
Although it's not, I mean, yes, because he deals with that. It's not much for me. You could say an umbrella is also just not clothing. You could, I mean, if you said the hatter, according to Rashi, is because it's held by human, then you'd have to make one umbrellas also. Right. But if you say the hatter is clothing, umbrellas aren't clothing. So you could be a chavik.
Okay. But even still, he said like most Rishon don't.
Right. Right. And a chanami. And a chanami. He didn't like Rashi. Seder. Okay. I want to talk about two other things. One is one of the big issues of our times of sushi on Shabbos, right? We talk about Orthodox Judaism. Orthodox Judaism was once upon a time characterized by gefilte fish and maybe a little herring. And nowadays, we've evolved to sushi, right? I'm pretty sure that, you know, if you had a wedding, you didn't serve sushi. You could find a way to possibly kiddush, because obviously it wasn't really Orthodox. So can you make sushi on Shabbos? So where does that all start with? I don't mean scratch. You have to cook the rice first. Obviously, you cook the rice before Shabbos, right? Yeah, all the ingredients. The rice needs to be cooked. It's cooked. The fish and vegetable don't need to be cooked. They're not cooked, right?
The shadow are going to be after.
Similar, well, maybe more clever. Okay, but maybe more clever. Anyway, this all has to do with the funny Gemara, which says that making cheese is usher mishum bonah. Megavin, making cheese, right? How do you make cheese? You don't have to know exactly how you make cheese. You understand, you start with milk, it ends up, you know what milk is, it ends up like cheese, you know what cheese is. Right, when you make that final product, the cheese, that is bonah. Why is it bonah? The Rav says, because bonah means you take things together and you put them together into one thing. Here, you're taking all the like curds of milk and you're making them into a brick of cheese or a wheel of cheese or whatever it might be. You really, it is a sort of bone. I mean, we're not used to it. We think cheese comes from the supermarket. But you can imagine you take milk, you make it into sort of cottage cheese on the way. And then somehow you take all those lumps of the cottage cheese and you make it into like that brick they have in the supermarket. That's a big problem. I don't know how to do that. Myself. And that is bona. The Mishnah Brewer brings that down. If you open up your handy dandy, Mishnah Brewer, says the Mishnah Brewer in Simon Shin Yotes. This is Agav of Borer because some of the earlier steps in the process are Borer. Says the Mishnah Brewer in Shin Yotes, Sabbath Gimel. He throws in as an agav. If you take the curds and make it into cheese, and then you go to the Ramishkol, whenever you take little pieces, take different pieces and attach them until they become one good, that is like binyan. He doesn't mean you draw like binyan. He means the bona. Now, the Magen Avraham asks a shayla from all the way in the beginning of the year. Someone tell me, the self-same Rambam, right? Meaning the Rambam is just like, explaining it a little, the Pshat explanation, it's really Gemara. And the Rambam is not such a big kiddush. Like, obviously, it's Pshat Gemara. Does anyone remember what the Rambam said about taking a bunch of figs and squishing them together into one piece? That's Ma'amir, right? That was the kiddush of the Rambam. There was Ma'amir, even though it wasn't in the field. So the Magen Avraham, if you turn to your Magen Avraham in Simon Shin Mem, Sivkat and Yud Zayin, the Magen Avraham asks, Shin Mem Sivkat on Yud Zayin, Sivkat on Yud Zayin. Sarek Ian, Lomalus Taibes Ocean Bonet. Why isn't it Bonet to press things together? Isn't it the same as pressing cheese together? You also come out with a bit of a brick or a wheel or something, right? Like we said by Megavin, Sarek Lomer Glomikri Bonet, Lakshim's commonly a poso lashposo. It's only bone. Your kavana is to make it nice and even. When you make cheese, now here he's assuming something, which, you know, I don't know how they did in those days. When you make cheese, all the cheese I've ever seen is like a nice, even shape, right? It's a brick or a wheel or something. They're all like a real shape. When you press things together, he's assuming they didn't make it into a... into a nice shape. They just squash them. And therefore, that's not bona. That is a big chiddush of the Magen Avraham.
How might you have answered
his question? What? It's pretty clear that the figs aren't bone. That's the Rambam's Chiddush Ma'amar. You would have said it's also bone. Why is cheese bone and not figs?
You didn't make it a thing.
Right? Because figs are not something new. Right? When you see a big cake of figs, it's just 30 figs squished together. Right? When you see cheese, it's like a new area. Right? You've made something new. You haven't just squished together existing things. That's what the Orcha Shulchan says. It says Gvina right here in Siman Shin Mem, Sif Katan, Sif Ches, if I'm not mistaken, but I might be wrong. That's what I wrote here. He says that cheese is like mamish a new thing. Things are squishing things. Orcha Shulchan, Siman Shin Mem, Sif Ches. The Chai Adam Paskins like the Chai Adam Paskins like the Magen Avraham. The Chai Adam Paskins like the Magen Avraham. Yeah.
I don't know if you can play with the eights, two eights together.
So you say that's a Shinui Tzura. You had two pieces of wood, now you have a hammer or whatever. Yeah, that's a new tzura. Says this is not a new tzura. So the Chai Adam in Lamed Tes Halacha Aleph, Paul Lamed Tes Halacha Aleph, says it's possible like the Magen Avraham. Anytime you put food together and you make it into a nice shape, that is boner. Okay, so here we have a that's what he said, into a smooth shape. That's boner. That's what the Magen Avraham says. It says, Lashvosoli opposed. Right, an even shape. I don't mean a nice shape, like a fancy shape. A nice shape could be round. It just means into a like recognizable shape. So here we have the fish of cheese. Bina equals bone. Says the Magen Avraham, because it's an even shape. Right? Again, I mean a nice shape. I don't mean like you make it into like a picture of a teddy bear. It's even shape. And says the Orcha Shulchan, because it is a new tzura. It's a new form. It's a new form of the object. Okay, so interesting question. How does that affect, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, he asks, hold on a second. He has it on his yom tov. In the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, in Perek Yud Aleph. Yes. I think it's in Perek Yud Aleph. Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, Perek Yud Aleph, which is, random. I want lots of food. Footnote Mem Gimel. He says an interesting thing, by the way. He says, not all melachos are mutter for anyantif. If you bake anyantif, you can't make letters or pictures out of the challah. You know, like someone could, they could take challah, make it into the different strands, and make, you know, A, B, C, etc. You know, you can't do that on anyantif. Also, if you're very talented, you can't make like a teddy bear or something. That's kosi. Okay, now that would be kosi for the bread either. Okay, that's not our inyan now. And the funny thing is, how can you just make a challah? Isn't that taking a lot of flour and water and mushing it together to make a nice even shake? And shouldn't that be an iser of bone? Bone is not mutter on yontif. And he says, not just that, everything. How do you make matzo balls? Isn't that a nice even shape? How do you make meatballs? Meaning, a lot of things we cook, you know, how do you make kugel? A lot of kugels are a nice even shape. Well, some more so, some less so. You know, how do you cook a lot of things on yontif? You're taking pieces and putting them together into a nice, even shape. Seems like good kasha, no? So he says, well, maybe bona is mutter on yontif, but his main answer is that no, that there's another tnai involved. There's another tnai involved in this Magen Avraham. Says what's forget if bane the figs, bane the cheese. What the other tonight involved? That figs and cheese are things that last a long time. Dry figs last forever. And cheese lasts forever. Not literally forever. Again, please don't misinterpret me. Don't take your cheese from the supermarket and leave it out of the fridge forever. That's not like old style quality cheese. But if you have like old style cheese, it doesn't have to be a cheese. I mean, they also had saved cheese one year. It didn't have to be refrigerated. Those aren't cheese. They're like cheap ones. We have refrigerators. So they don't make it the same quality as the old days.
But I'm sure there's cheese nowadays that's super expensive that you don't have to refrigerate. Is there?
Yeah. Which just means it's like the old days. And dried figs, you also don't have to refrigerate.
As a matter of fact, these things are particularly made to last forever, right? If somehow when you dry out the figs and squish them into the cakes, they last. I mean, it's really drying out, not the cakes, but they're made to last forever. And cheese, the milk doesn't last forever. You make into cheese, and it lasts for a long time for your refrigerators. Says those things are last for a long time. Says a la and meatballs and kugel and matzo balls, etc. Now, of course, nowadays they invent freezers, so you can freeze anything. But still, that's not the normal topic of them in and of themselves. You're supposed to eat them right away, right? And you're usually supposed to cook them to eat them that day or the next day or something. They don't last for a long time. He says, bone that by Oakland can only be things that last for a long time. Says that's obvious. The money the Rebbe was only comparing, I think it was figs, was only comparing, it was all, I think it was figs, was only comparing figs and cheese, because those two things last for a long time. I thought maybe you could say even what? Because Oakland really are not shaykh to Bona, therefore
that was separate. Here's because like foods are not the kind of things you can build unless they're food that lasts a long time. And I thought you could also say, maybe there's one of the smallest words, that these things are very hard. Like a cake of pressed figs is very hard. As a matter of fact, proof means very hard. What does the Gemara say? Plish machla isser, you're allowed to use to cut your dvela? Right? What if you say, I don't believe you? I don't think they're so hard. No? Am I making this up? That you're allowed to, when the Mishnah talks about Plish machla isser, litzora rupo, on kofcha beis and beis, you can take an axe to chop up the cake of pressed figs. Okay, it's an axe. That's pretty serious. Now, I understand maybe not everyone needed it. Some of them it might be good enough to just have a big, hacksaw or maybe even just a giant knife. But serious business. You didn't just like break it apart like this, like you do with your phyllo or your beast. So maybe I. Very hard things. Yeah, that was never what they were discussing. So that's where we get to the question of where does sushi fit in here? So it's interesting, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, but maybe even within the Aruch HaShulchan, there was a t'nai that it was hard that would last a long time, otherwise we'd never know. Here it gets a little tricky is sushi. What's the difference between sushi and a peanut butter sandwich? Right? Now, I didn't say a deli sandwich. A deli sandwich is a bad enough bone because it's not stuck together, right? If you pick up the top of the deli sandwich, you'll only get the top. But if you pick up the top of the peanut butter sandwich, you'll get the whole sandwich, right? Why would anyone ever say it's bone to make a peanut butter sandwich? So maybe the answer is, Rav Shlomo Zalman would say, maybe someone else would say, because the bread already had a nice shape and the peanut butter just in the middle. Maybe
it's making the bread.
What?
You're not making anything.
Correct. Maybe because the bread already, you're not giving it a new shape that it didn't have. Yates eyeing a lot of these things. That's what some people, I think, take this like a little far. They say, if you like serve a tuna fish you pop the tuna fish into the bowl for the kiddush. You can't like smooth out the top because that's like when we're going to run, boom. Oh, we didn't put anything together. It was already there. You're just smoothing it out. That's cool. There's no, you know, no more ramp. Okay, I think it's a different ramp. But if you care about it, of course. Maybe for me, you're really smooth. It's clearly okay. Anyway, Lemaisa says, only if it is, can something last for a long time? Well, I would have said different than him. Okay, maybe his reason he didn't say only if it's something that's very hard. Only if something that's very hard. He said only something lasts for a long time. Maybe it's the same thing that we're it's hard things last for a long time, right? And it's a general rule. Maybe think of exceptions, but that's a good general. Anyway, Lemaisa, what about sushi? Sushi is very controversial. From what I've heard, a lot of Rabbanim in America, I've heard this all like secondhand, are masochet about sushi on Shabbos. Is sushi a chashu bone on Shabbos? Some people don't taste chashu bone. Apparently, Dr. Weiss thinks it's bone on Shabbos to make sushi. And the Shmir Shabbos Gochas, I think he didn't discuss sushi. Maybe they didn't have sushi in his days. But I think clearly this footnote would say that it is not usher. Many people say it's not usher. What about sushi on Shabbos? So that is super controversial. Why? Because sushi is a nice even shape. What do? You roll the soup. You put things together, right? I mean, it's not just like flopping tuna fish in the bowl. You're actually putting things together. You put together the rice and you squish it together, stick together, and that way it really is a little more like the face. But you're making a nice shape, right? You have to make a nice round shape for soup. That way you roll it into a nice shape, as opposed to the face, which money I brought the soup to a nice shape. You're making it into a nice shape. Yes, la'ayin for the. So, what about sushi? The svara le'asor is that it's clearly an even shape. The whole point of sushi is you roll it into a circle. And now, yishtayim derech hashulchan, what does it mean, shinui tzura? Like, do you say it's a shinui tzura because now it's like turning into sushi? Or it's not the same shinui tzura as cheese. Cheese, there was no cheese, pulled out of their cheese. Figs, there were figs, there's more figs. Here, you can see the sort of in between. Everything was already there. Like, cheese is magic. Cheese is like magic, right? Like, if you didn't know science, you would think that someone who made cheese is a magician. They take milk and turn it into cheese. You know how hard cheese is? Cheeses. That's like not cheese too well. Figs is just putting things next to each other. Sushi is like, you have sushi, which you didn't need to have, but all sushi is seaweed and vegetables and fish and rice next to each other. Like, nothing on the shinui tzura, it's just putting things next to each other. Like, lamias daiti, I don't see from the Aruch HaShulchan's perspective how sushi is different than a sandwich. Like, there didn't used to be a sandwich, now there's a sandwich. Some people say, no, sushi is more of a thing than a sandwich. Sushi is like a new food. Sandwich is just a kind of bread and peanut butter. I'm not convinced of that. You know, I think that the Aruch HaShulchan, people say differently, shinui tzura means shinui tzura, a totally new tzura in the world that didn't used to be in the world. Not you put things together and then, since it's delicious to eat foods together, you pull out something new. Sandwiches would be awesome. There's probably a lot of things that we put two foods together and now there's something delicious that gets a new name. I don't think that's what he means by shinui tzura. I think that's just called, like, prepared, that's just called eating food. When you eat food, you often put things together, and then it becomes some delicious dish. So, lamias daiti, you know, even shade. The shinui tzura, but very dark. It's very dark to say shinui tzura. Now, I know there's some people want to say, no, sushi is a new thing. It's a creation. It's a new birria. It's not like a sandwich. Sandwich is not a new birria. Sushi is a new birria. I'm not sure why sushi is more of a birria than a sandwich. A peanut butter sandwich sticks together better than sushi. So that's a svara lesser. They svara.
So figs. I'm more figs.
No, because you can say by figs, you call it figs either way. Here, you used to call it rice and seaweed and vegetables and fish, and now you call it sushi. But I try to put things together, they get a new name.
is different.
And yeah, it's not the whole of Shia and Supa. That's just the nature of who you put different roots together and you get a new name. It's hard for me to believe that, even though that's as far. So the Hatter is number one. The Arka Shulchan, right? The Ora is like a sandwich, just like a sandwich is not a Shinui Tzura. It's hard to imagine why this would be a Shinui Tzura. Number two, Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Eino Dovar Hamiskayin. It's not a Dovar Hamiskayin, right? And the truth is, the Stipler in some Lamed Tes of Shabbos says something similar often. He says, like, cheese is mashin. He even says, well, he even takes our house. Actually, that's why they're welter. He says something. He's been different than the Arha Shokhan. But even if you see things that happen, they do become very, very hard. Right? In part 2.1 is that sushi is soft. It's not hard like a cake of figs or like cheese. Steibel says only cheese is hard. Even a cake of figs is butter. It's not hard. Unlike the Arha Shokhan. And be much more frog. But even if you cake of figs, it is hard. Sushi is really more like challah than a cake of figs. Right? You can just break it apart in your hands. You can just take a bite out of it very easily. No one thinks you need axes to cut your sushi, right? So anyway, there's many, many stuff in the hakel on sushi. And again, it's really hard to explain why sandwiches are mutter. And you're going to have to say sandwiches are what type of sushi is also why the sushi is harder than a sandwich is going to be a little tricky because sushi is more of a shiny tuna than a sandwich. It's going to be a little tricky because sushi is smoother than a sandwich. Maybe you could say sushi is smoother than a sandwich. But why is sushi different than all these things you make on yantip? So yes, must be that on yantip bone is much of a whole match. But really, it's all boner. Really, every time you make challah, it's boner. And every time you make meatballs, it's boner. And every time you make matzah balls, it's boner. And every time you make kugel, it's boner. It's just that mutter for ovel nefesh. It's a big finish. We never heard that it's boner to make anything but cheese. And a habamina by a piece of figs. So lami is dainty. I know it's very controversial. Okay, many people are machmir. Not being Sushen Shabbos. Lami is dainty. I find it very hard to understand the machmir and yes, making sushi. On Shabbos, I know in a lot of places they're not wearing this, but it's hard to understand about here. And certainly, I have a kid who makes sushi. He is not a professional sushi chef. His sushi really is, it tastes delicious, but it's not as tightly packed. It falls apart much more easily than the sushi I eat at Wendy's. Level of skills. I mean, for sure, if you're making sushi at home and you're not a professional, that's another big tzabla hakel. Then it's not even put together, but it falls apart very easily. So I think for sure you can be making it. Anyway, Blanius Daiti, I have a lot of trouble understanding why. I don't really understand the modern sushi. It seems to me to be a big fetish, and the Polozam is right. We never heard of Bona, except for one case and a half mean of a second case. And those cases are very, very hard, long-lasting things. And no one until now just said it's bona to make challah on Shabbos on Yom Tov. And then you get to much about all that vegetable. Why didn't everyone say it's bona to make challah on Yom Tov?
You know, it seems to be a bit of a chiddush. You know, almost every case of lush would also end up being bona. You know, if you made it a nice shake afterwards. I don't know. To me, it's a big fetish, and I don't think we have to be machmir not to make sushi and Shabbos, but okay, everyone should follow the vocal post.
It sort of applied to the visual, meaning turning raw dough into more of a soup and vinegar. In the lodges, it's the visual.
It's interesting. The Arach HaShulchan would say whenever you make a new tzura by putting things together, it's funny, according to that, why isn't every lush, why isn't every lush also, it's a tour? Almost every lush is a tour. Why isn't every lush bone? I think the answer is clear. The Arach HaShulchan also had one Polozam. You know, he's only talking about things that are hard and last a long time. Not things that are soft that you eat right away.
I think Polozam is pretty much.
I think the
Well, usually when you read things, no, it's a costume. Because, oh, right, no, this whole time I mean the dot and color. Everyone needs a new sort of dot and do color.
Right. Okay, so much for food and the sushi controversy. Okay, I think if you, this morning, on the way here, I listened to Rari Leibowitz's 10-minute halacha on sushi, and he was a little more machmer. So you can listen to that for the other side of the coin. Okay, last thing I want to talk about is bonnet on here. Mehechi tesi bonnet on here. The Gemara says that braiding here is bonnet because by yiven Hashem lokim asatzela. What does it mean by yiven Hashem lokim asatzela? There are many pshatim medrash. One of them is Hashem braided Chava's here and brought her to Adam Arishon, so she looked pretty with braided hair, or looks sophisticated at least with braided hair, and that was called binyan. What? Tzadi Dal, here says the Mishnah. I'll read you the Mishnah. V'chena godeles, v'chena kocheles, v'chena pokeses, where Elazar Mechayev, v'chom osu mishum shvos, where Elazar says it's an Isser D'Oraisa, and which Isser D'Oraisa is it? So the Gemara says that's Tzadi Dal and Beis, and Tzadi Him and Aleph, that's also where they talk about the coincidentally, just they're talking about random things about cheese making, begabin shaman chayv, gabin, etc. And then they explain Mishum Bonet. But when it comes to this, says what's so bad about making braids on Shabbos? They say at the top of Tzadi Hey. Godelus and Pokesis and Shambona, Peter Bini Makak, that bone. In Kedizershim Shimon Nasir, by Yivan Shalokim, Satsaylam, and Lame, Shekila, Hakarish Mokal Chavi, he braids for Chavi, he eats all of them. She came correctly, I'm currently looking at some Benisa. And there's some Semitic languages where Binyan, Benisa actually means braiding your hair. And that's what it means in Parsh Bracious, in Gan Eden, or when Hashem created Chavi. And therefore, braiding is considered to be bonus, says the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Gimel Sif Chavav. Also, the Klo Yisha Sar B'Shabbos will hater Kli Asa Aval Yifola, etc. She's not allowed to braid or unbraid on Shabbos. Not allowed to braid or unbraid on Shabbos. So interesting. The Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is. Usher, not chayev. Okay, are you medayik? Are you not medayik? Usually we are pretty medayik, and the Mishnah Berurah is very explicit. Mid rabbanim mishum de dami lebinyan. Why? And then he quotes the drasha. Why mid rabbanim? Because it was a machlokas of the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer said it, it's mid oraisa, and the chachamim also mishum shlos say mid rabbanim. So Rabbi Eliezer darsh the apostle mid oraisa. Only Rabbana, how do we pass it? Okay, Chomer the Rove, so it sends path like a rove. So the, really, the Rambam and then the Mechaber and then the Mishabur all pass it, and it's only Mishad Rabbanan, even though the Darshan Apostle, that's only Rabbi Lezer. We only Darshan it as an Asmachta, Midi Rabbanan. And then he says, hold on a second, why isn't it a different Issa Doraisa? What different Issa Doraisa should it be to braid here? What does it remind us of? Oh, right, weaving. Why isn't it weaving? He says, no. Interesting. He says, interestingly, if that took a, you know, you wanted to like sell ponytails, like braids, whatever. So you took hair, you bought hair from the Indian temples or wherever, and you braided it, et cetera. That would be an Issa D'Oraisa oreg. But this is not oreg because A, the derech of oreg is only on like fabrics and threads and not on human body. Oreg is not set on the human body. And B, it's only temporary, right? Because unlike when you weave clothing, any woman who braids her hair is only braiding it temporarily. Okay, so it's not oreg, it is bonet, and unbraiding is soser, midrabanan. That's why the Mechaber says, v'lulahata kliyasa. So therefore, we see braiding is bonet midrabanan, soser is unbraiding, taking out braids is soser midrabanan. This actually is halacha l'maaseh, right? There are girls with braids in their hair, right? Making the braids is a total issur midrabanan. Pashut issur midrabanan, according to Rabbi Elazar d'Oraisa, pashut issur midrabanan Shabbos, and even taking out the braids is an issur d'rabbanan of soser, as we see in this Rambam. The Gemara doesn't discuss it explicitly, but it makes sense. What about parting your hair, making a part in your hair in Shabbos? Is that also bonet? So, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, says, well, Yechola Lachlok Sarah, she can put a part in her hair. The Yesh Olshem Lachalik Sarah, Tainu Lassos Ha Sheitel, what we call Sheitel. And Rama says, but some say, Osir, Penogu Lassar, Lassos Al Yede Kli, Avob Etzvi Amanogu Lahat. Okay, the Mechaber says, multiple part your hair, parting is not bone net. You're not making anything new. I mean, you're a bone net. You're just putting on two sides. The Rama says, Osir, but mutter with your finger. Why does the Rama say usser? What might you think? Why does the Rama say usser? What? So, interestingly, the Mishnah has pokeses. What's pokeses? Rashi presents it for Gaius. One of the pshatim seems to be parting your hair. So it could be the Rama assers because he thinks it's bone. Could be assers because he thinks it's bone. But that's what the Ksos HaSholchan says, because of Bona. But that's not what the Mishnah Berurah says. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah, he says, Sifkatan, Hey, Dalid, Yesh Osun Lach Luxari, Mishum Chshash Tlisha, because of Toles, because when you part your hair, you end up pulling out hairs. And one day says not a separation, it's a separation of toles. And that's why you do your fingers, then it's not a separation of toles. So if you don't think it's having use a comb or a brush, it's a separation of toles. Okay, so here we have two deos, up to three deos about parting your hair. Right? So the Rama Lepi Sosa Shulchan says it is bone. Bone and Rabana. Like breathing, it's also a sewer in your hair. The Ramah, the Bihish, the Brewer, and others, says Tolesh, Sikresha. It's a Sikresha of Tolesh. And the Mechaber says Mutter. Okay, at least for Ashkenazim, we would clearly asar parting your hair like the Ramah. For whatever the reason, you can't part your hair with a brush or comb, but you can't part your hair with your fingers. I don't know how well that works because I never tried to part my hair. Maybe if you only need a little chizuk or something. Now, here is an interesting question. It says that Shmir Shabbos Pilchasa, if you look in Shmir Shabbos Pilchasa, I'll read it to you, or if you have it in front of you, you can open to Perek Yudalid. Se'ir Nun, Halacha Nun Ches. He says you're not allowed to make braids. You're not allowed to make braids in your hair, or in the sheitel, or even in doll hair. And he says, in the sheitel or doll hair, it might be an issue of the rice of orev. In your hair, there's no orev. It's only an issue of the rabbanon of bone. And you're not allowed to undo. But you're allowed to part your hair with a by hand, or make a ponytail or something. But you're not allowed to curl your hair. And certainly not with curlers. You're not allowed to curl your hair. What's the marker for that? The Ksos HaShulchan says that part of your hair is bone. That's like, meaning he says, bone is not only braids. Bone is anytime you give it tsura to your hair. And when you curl your hair, curling your hair is also bone. So you're not allowed to curl your hair is bone. I don't even see curlers. Like old ladies in the old days, used to use curlers in their hair. Nowadays, girls iron their hair, right? Every 20 years, they switch between ironing their hair and curling their hair. But if you go back like 50 years, they had those curlers. I don't know if you have a great grandmother old enough to have seen this in their hair. So that's what he says here. You're not allowed to do curlers. And, Hasidim have machines or curlers that they call the payas. So you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. He says in the footnote here, he says, what about, you ever see Hasidim on Shabbos? They just after mine, they're always going like this. So is that an Isra Shabbos of Bonem and Drabanan? So he says, no, Limud Schus on people who do that because their pants are already curled.
They're just keeping them curled. First of all, but they're just keeping them curled. They're not really giving it a new shape. They're just like slightly mechazik, the curls, or keeping them curled. So it's not a new shape. Therefore, that's up on Shabbos. So that's what we assume, that if you decide to go payas, you decide to go curly payas, then just to go like this on Shabbos, or make it, but to actually make the curls on the payas on Shabbos is a problem. I don't know what... Anyone ever been a chassid? What do you do after going to the mikvah Shabbos for? When your hair loses, the pace loses their curls. I don't know. But basically, if you go to the mikvah Shabbos morning, your pace loses their curls, then you're not supposed to go like this, because that's making a new curl. It's not like your pace are already curled. So I don't know what people do. Maybe they have a different Shmir Shabbos. But Lamaisa, the most folks can assume that you're not allowed to curl your pace on Shabbos, but if they're already curled and you're just going like this, that's okay.
How did this go to me, that assumption from the clothes to weave together? But this is just to take the same.
Right, but since it's not Oreg, it's Bone, then he assumes giving any form is still considered Bone. It's really based on, I think it comes somewhat from a Revush. If you look in the, there's a, you're right. I think you need more of a mover. So I don't have it also shulchan on here. It's on a shelf. We should look it up. But I think it might come from Revush. If you look at the last beer halacha in Shin Gimel, he talks about that the Revush says that it's usher to use a cone to fix your hair and put in a certain shape. And he says he thinks that's what some girls do, that they put gel in their hair, the old fashioned kind of gel, and then they comb it in a certain way, and then it like sticks down in a certain way, and that's doma libidi. That's the Revush. So it sounds like now he's not talking about curling. He's talking about, you ever seen? I think there might be girls who still do this, like. They sort of put like something in here and then they like put it down like this. It like sticks down or something. I don't know. I think that might be a thing. Okay. So the Revush says that's bone. So he says certainly giving it a curl is certainly bone. I mean, any hairstyle is bone. That's based on the Revush, based on pokesis. He thinks that's what pokesis means, which is not clear. I mean, Rashi means sudeus. Maybe pokesis is not in your hair at all. Maybe it's something you do in your skin. No one knows what pokesis means. One of the Shabbat Rashi says, fix your hair. So maybe it's parting your hair. Maybe your boss says it's like any type of shape giving your hair. And that's why the Shmir Shabbos says here, he's Machmir. He says, you're not allowed to make any shape for your hair. He says, for example, you can't put gel in your hair to like prop it up and make a hairdo. Remember once upon a time women had hairdos? Okay.
Men put gel.
Even men, like they put gel in their hair and then they like, yeah, like to be an arse. A punk, right? Like if you're a punk, you have to like put gel and make your hair go up, right? The Shmir Shabbos says that's usher. He even goes far as saying it's even usher to like make yourself a hairstyle and then spray. You know, there's this hairspray that women use, maybe, and also that just keeps the hair in place. It says all of that is usher because all of that is bone. Now, some of that is controversial. Rabbi Ribiat on page 1061, Haskins that no, if you just spray on your hair, that's not bona. So it's not changing the structure of your hair, just keeping it how it is. But the Shmir Shabbos says, no, first you like put it in a certain place and then you spray it really quick. And that's a way of being bona. Okay, so the mice, gel in your hair is usher to the bone. Curling your hair is usher to the bone. We assume any tsura in your hair is usher to the bone. And the main makar, this is the Revush, quote in the last Bir Halacha in Shin Gimel. And you can find this on Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, Perek Yudalid, Halachos, Nun Hei, Nun Vav, Nun Zayin, Nun Ches. So that is the end of bone. And I think we're ready to go weiter to Makar B'Patash, Shmuel. I'm going to press you into service. Makar B'Patash. So before we get into the law of Makar B'Patash, I want to ask two questions. Number one, what is the meaning of the word Makar B'Patash? Now, I know the meaning of the word. You hit with a hammer. What are you hitting with a hammer, right? Meaning every avalach, there's like the avalach of the thing that was done in the Mishkan, let's say, and then the little things that are equivalent to it.
right? So what is the actual, what did you hit with the hammer, right? So here we have a couple of deos. What does the Mishnah Berurah say? The Mishnah Berurah in, if you turn to Siman Shin Beis, Mishnah Berurah Tes. Says the word Shin Beis Mishnah Berurah Tes, one of the first places we mentioned Make Bepatish. He just says a four-way line in the Mishnah Berurah, Shin Beis Tes, Mishamake Bepatish, Kala Osa Dover Shalai Deis and Nigmar Malacha Kai Mishamake Bepatish. Shekein Derech Ha'uma Lahakos Bepatish Ala Kli Acher Shin Nigmar Lahashvos Achmi Musa. The classic Make Bepatish is you hit a kli with your hammer when you finish to straighten out where it's a little crooked or bent. Right? So that is a classic. We know Make Bepatish, the Gemara Kalis with Mar Malacha. But what's the original Make Bepatish? Not what counts as Make Bepatish. What's the actual Make Bepatish? Says in the Mishnah Berurah, you hit the kli with a hammer to straighten out the bent parts when you finish making it. That is the original Make Bepatish, and that's based on many Rishonim, including Tosfos on Kuf Beis on the Beis. Shin Beis Tes. 302:9. That's Tosos on Kuf Beis on the Beis says, what is Make Bepatish? He says, Nira Larida, Hay Make Bepatish, Hay Makosh, Achron, Shemaka, Lakli, Bishas, Mar Melacha. Okay, the last hammer blow on the plea to get it into shape. That is Tosos and other Rishonim, just a literal Make Bepatish. I don't know if I'm not claiming necessarily there's enough to mean what the little Make Bepatish is. But what is the literal Make Bepatish? Tosos, on Kofes on the Beis, the Ode, Mishnah Berurah, Shin Beis, Tes, says, last blow on the kli to straighten it. You know, then the kli is done. Like imagine a metal kli or something, right? A little malleable. And then it's done. That is what Tosos says. Rashi, there's the machlokas tanoim in the Mishnah. There, Rashi Shimon Gamliel says, even someone who hits while the anvil while doing malacha, someone who hits the anvil while doing malacha, Rashi says
Rashi on the Mishnah, al pi the Tana from Shimon Gamliel on the kof beis on the beis.
He says, what's Make Bepatish? He says, now it's unclear. The Randolph Kof Gimel discusses what he means. Like, why is it malacha to hit the hammer on the anvil? So some people say, because you're like training your hand, whatever. And then it's not clear if that's over Maskana or Pai, but I don't think it is. But that doesn't seem to be the original thing. That's not a Mar Malacha. How is hitting the hammer on the anvil like Mar Malacha? Says Rashi. What does Rashi Shimon Gamliel mean by hitting the hammer on the anvil? When you hit the hammer on the anvil, you're straightening out the hammer. As you work, your hammer becomes nicked and bumpy. And the hammer is supposed to be harder than everything else. So you hit everything else with the hammer, you can't straighten the hammer. But what's harder than the hammer? The anvil. That's harder even than the hammer. So if you want to straighten your hammer, you give it a zets on the anvil, and it straightens your hammer. And that's the Mar Malacha of the hammer. Right? Every once in a while, just like a shulchan, and once in a while, to resharpen his knife. So when you work with the hammer, once in a while, you have to fix up your hammer by hitting it on the anvil. Okay, I never had to fix up a hammer by hitting it on the anvil. But it could be that they have to have different hammers, different work, and different materials then, you know. What? Cornice is a hammer, yes. So Sam's
Rashi. Spodden is the anvil.
Spodden is the anvil, yes. You smooth the hammer by hitting it on the anvil. Okay, those are two main pshatim. Again, other Rishonim say Rashi Shimon Gamliel meant you like practice your blows by hitting on the anvil. It's clear that that's not a Gemara Malacha and that's not the original one in which they're discussing permission. However, Rashi on Daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis says something a little strange. He says, Make Bepatish is one of the other Malacha, and what it means is the last blow to knock the stone off the mountain, right? So you need to build with stones.
How do you get stones? How do you want to say that?
You travel near my house to see old pine. There are mountains. You go back to your earlier stone mountain. What did they do? They just knocked off stone by stone.
Not like across from here, they took down a mountain, but they took it down in little pieces.
That's how you get all the stones, like building your shalem. Right? You see, everything's faced with stones. Where do those stones come from? They, just like in the old days, they knock them off mountains.
Not that different
than in the old days. So the last load that knocks off the mountain, that is Makar Patis.
Says Rashi, on days, on the base, and about a steeper, Ladas Tanakama, he says the last blow to knock the stone off the mountain. Hey, Tosa has an obvious question. This can't be the original Makar Patis because they couldn't have done them in the Mishkan. Why not? Where were you Friday morning? Okay. Did they read the Pentateuch?
They did.
Okay. Did they read a story that happened someplace?
Yes.
Where did it happen? At Mount Sinai. So I guess they had mountains. Okay. Mountains. So why did they do this in the Mishkan? Because they didn't use stone to build the Mishkan, right? If they want to, they can knock stones off mountains. They can't be part of building the Mishkan because there are no stones in the Mishkan, right? That was only looked later in the Beis HaMikdash. So, Tosfos asks the Kashra, they are going to explain that it must be that Rashi didn't mean this was really the original one. He just meant the context of this Mishkan, which was one of the other stone work. He thought it was what they meant. So, but this Rashi parenthesis, they are going to explain, he didn't mean this was the original one. He just meant that that was what it meant in the Mishnah, meaning this is, you know, Rashi's shot in the Mishnah, not in the original Makar Patis, to the campaign. That's what some sober says. This Mishnah was talking to the like stone, Rashi wasn't in the stone. Okay, so there are only two shots of what the original one in the Mishnah was, either like Rashi, based on the Shemit wheel, that you smooth out the hand. That's what Rashi says on the original. He missed the Aleph. Or like Tosos and many of you show them the last blow you make on the plea.
And just to sort of round out the picture,
right? The other Rishonim say Rashi when Leal says hitting on the anvil doesn't mean the original Makar Patis. She just means there's also Malacha, like hit on the anvil to practice to get ready to hit your plea, which is a pretty big finish. And Rashi would say, no, the original one was hitting the hammer on the anvil, the Tanakhama, who says you're hitting something, he's just going to get stolen from the Mishnah.
Okay, Lemaisa, either way, what's the principle of Gemara Malacha Loka Lemaisa? What did it say in the Ayin Hey Amid Beis?
What's the principle? Not the literal Makar Patis, but what is the idea of Makar Patis? Forget about what the literal case was. What's the idea of Makar Patis? Does anyone answer in two words? Bible?
Gemara
Malacha says the Gemara. Anything that has Gemara Malacha is Makar Patis. So regardless of what was in the Mishkan, it's finishing something, right? Gemara Malacha. And here we have an interesting Kasha, which
we've shown him in Akronim ask, or it's really even before they've shown him in Akronim. They didn't ask the question. They clearly asked the question. They answered it.
They didn't ask it explicitly. Says, hold on a second. So why isn't everything Makar Patis? Everything on Shabbos is Gemara Malacha now, or at least eventually it's Gemara Malacha. I understand. Closer on Shabbos is not a Gemara Malacha, because it'd be a long letter. But when I finish the letter, that's Gemara Malacha. Bone on Shabbos is not necessarily Gemara Malacha, because I might have to build a big building. But when I finish building buildings, it's Gemara Malacha, right? Finish the Lord Shabbos is Gemara Malacha. On Shabbos is Gemara Malacha, right? So why isn't every other one also Gemara Malacha? And then it's ridiculous. You're not going to say that every time you write a letter, you did Kosev and Makar Patis. That's crazy. Right? You're not going to say every time you bake bread, you did Ofa and Makar Patis. That can't be. So why isn't everything Makar Patis? So here, I only found two answers. Someone answer the question. Why isn't everything Makar Patis? Then every Malacha is Sikai Puchathosis. So it's also Makar Patis. That can't be.
I don't know if that is
Okay, what does Yerushalmi say? And you're right, but say it better. Right, right. Basically, what does Yerushalmi say? The Makar Katish will call nowadays miscellaneous. Right? The, right, I don't know. Time, right? Fill it, fill a tax return that says, list your expenses. This kind of expense, that kind of expense, that kind of expense, miscellaneous, whatever doesn't fit into the other categories, but it's really true. Right? Basically, their Shelley is turning to says, basically, Chazal knew on their own what was malacha. They intuited what was a malacha. They intuited what was a malacha, and then they went through the 38, and whatever fit into the 38 they fit in, they said, it's a told of this, told of that. And whatever they intuited was malacha, it wasn't one of the 38, was makar patish. Okay, so basically, everything could be makar patish. It's just the definition of makar patish is whatever's not in the other 38. And how do we know what's there? Because we know it's a malacha. Okay, I don't know how I would know. I don't have an intuition what's a malacha. So one shot is, said the Yerushalmi, anything that, any Gemara Malacha that is not one of the other 38 is Makar Patish. The only other explanation I found, maybe there are others out there, let me share them with me, is the Meiri. The Meiri gave a different answer. The Meiri is also bothered by this, right? The Meiri said, Now, okay, good question. Is Chayav Shel Makar Patish? Why isn't everything Makar Patish if you finish making something? So they give an interesting answer. They said, no, Makar Patish doesn't mean finishes. Makar Patish means the step after finishing something. Makar Patish is only in a special case where there's a main work and you do that work, and then there's a side detail you have to do afterwards. For example, if I write a letter, all I'm doing is writing. When I finish writing, I'm writing. There's no Makar Patish. Not just the other halacha, because there's only the main job. Makar Patish is only when there's a main job and then a side point at the end. So he says, for example, what's the case of Makar Patish by the stone in the mountain? Is that he doesn't say it's the last blow. Because what's the last blow different than the other blow? He says, no, because first you knock the stone out of the mountain and you disattach it. And after it's disattached, you give one more blow to just make it roll away. That's not part of the main work. That's an additional step, an extra step. And that's Makar Patish. Or he says, if you weave a garment and then you have to take out the loose threads. Weaving a garment is weaving. Taking out the loose threads is a side thing. It's only basically when there's a side thing. And likewise, he says, that's the Makar Patish of hitting the kli. You make it kli. When you make it, it's all made, but there's a little part that's worked that you have to straighten out. So basically, says the Meiri, it's not anything that's malacha that's not one of the other 38. It is any gemar malacha which is done after finishing the main malacha. Only when you have a main malacha, you finish it, and then you have another step. That's called Makar Patish, like removing loose threads from a woven garment. You all know the malacha is weak, and you're done. When you're done, there's one little side point that you have to do. That makes it Gemara Malacha. Only a side point that comes after the main malacha. That's why when you make baked bread, there's never Makar Patish, because baking is the malacha. What's the bake? Writing a letter, there's no Gemara Malacha. You write a letter once it's written, it's written. Only in things where you do the malacha, and then there's another side point you have to take care of that when Gemara Malacha applies. Very different than in Shabbat. What's considered a side point that finishes that malacha, and what's considered just a totally separate thing. So it's clear that garnish is moving not the vessel. How do we intuit it to draw the line? That's a good question. Rav Asher Weiss has a tremendous finish, which you might have heard. Based on Yerushalmi, not in the Meiri. One of the biggest machlokas, which you referred to a zillion times, but you haven't really read inside, is it's on the Makoros. Right? Chelek Aleph Siman Lamed. Is why is electricity asur on Shabbos? Okay, that's a pretty question. Who says electricity is asur on Shabbos? Okay, but let's assume that all Jews for over 100 years have thought electricity was asur on Shabbos, and it's asur on Shabbos. But why? So,
because an ish famously says, because of the bonnet, because completing an electric circuit is a binyan.
Now that's a big fish because we don't really have anything parallel to that in Shas and Rishonim, obviously. But that's a big fish. Making a circuit is binyan. A circuit is something that is automatically binyan. Okay, that's his fish. It's a tremendous fish. He has a lot of cash on it, and many people have made a lot of cash on it. When the Chazan Ish was the elder, the Gdolei Hador of the entire Torah world, there was a young, up-and-coming, rising star, Talmud Chacham, who decided to take on the Chazan Ish, and lots of people who were born before the Chazan Ish disagreed with him. But no one went through point by point and said, here's what the Chazan Ish says, and here's why he's wrong. Right? Meaning, there are people who died before the Chazan Ish was born who disagreed with him. But they didn't respond to him, and he wrote a whole sefer, just point by point, disproving the whole Chazan Ish. Who was that? Rishon Zalman Horvath. That's when he became famous. I'm sure he would have become famous at some point anyway. I don't mean to say he only became famous for this, but this happens to be when he first became famous, because who is this guy taking on the Chazan Ish? Everyone read it, and they're like, whoa.
When that other started, it derived, obviously. He took on the Chazan Ish, and he says, absolutely not true. Most folks nowadays, except for the Chazan Ish, next, assume not like the Chazan Ish. That it's not bone. Why is it not bone? One of the main reasons is because it's like the screw top lids. You know, it's meant to be turned on and off all the time, right? No one thinks that it's fixed when it's on and it's broken when it's off, or it's dismantled when it's off. No, that's just how you use it, as well as many other sorrows, right? For example, it's very rough when you look at the switch, etc. The Rosh Shlomo Zalman Paskin, he wasn't really sure, but he Paskin like earlier than him. He shook, I think it was the Beis Yitzchak, who said it's an Isser Drabbanan, so it's like more. It's like giving a new topic or something, giving a new power. Says, after all, it's even Usher who spray perfume on clothing, give it a new smell, because now it has a new property. So when you turn on electrical plumbing to make it work, that's a new property. It's an issue of rabbanim and molid. It's most of a couple now, they say it's an issue of rabbanim. Our Usher Weiss came a few years ago, more than a few by now, and had tremendous kiddush. Our Usher Weiss says, I think it's also the Raisa, but obviously the Chazan Ish is not shocked. I can't defend the Chazan Ish. That's too hard. You know, it's hard for the Chazan Ish to recover from Shlomo Zalman's attack. Says that Mishmas Asher, I have a new shot, and he's very macro on electricity because Agav, where Solomon was very macro on a lot of shots about electricity. So I said, it's like the Koshi and Esther Drabana. You know, like, we'll say it's an Esther Drabana, even though even that's a fish. It's for sure not a Shasta Raisa. Obviously, I mean, if it doesn't otherwise do an Esther Raisa. Obviously, if you have an electric machine that also lights fires, or that, you know, dresses or sorts or writes. That's possible. An electric printer that writes is obviously a super rice. But I'm talking about an electric appliance that doesn't do any other models, like LED lights, fan, air conditioner, or something. All it does is electric door for an apartment, or an electric door, or electric scooter, etc. Assuming that, you know, it has a headlight, it's an LED headlight. Is not an ish. So the Rebbe Chalosh says, hold on a second. We all know electricity is malacha. How do we know? Because we're 100 years old. Jews have known that it's a malacha. So anything we know is a malacha that doesn't fit into any malacha is makir patish, mefurish Yerushalmi. So concludes the Mitzvah's usher based on the Yerushalmi that it's an Israelite makir patish. How do we know? Because it's intuitively malacha, and anything that's intuitively malacha is that's not one of the other 38, is Makar Patish. That's his big Chumrah. Based on this Rishali, he came out with a big Chumrah. He's Makar and all the electricity shilas that Rishon Zalman would make it on. I don't mean Rishon Zalman's Makar electricity, but other shilas, is it Dravonah to isolate and they're going to do it, etc. He's very Makar because of this Kiddush of Makar Patish. Okay, that's the main contemporary relevance of the Rishali.
Like, isn't that only that was for Zalman? Like, how can we just have intuitively?
So he thinks he doesn't think he is the equivalent to Chazal. Menachas Asher is not about Gaifa. But
not saying that even
so he says, if all the rabbis for 100 years thought it was Asher and Shabbos, that's got to be worth something. That's as good as Chazal. All of Klal Yisrael is as good as Chazal. Okay, that's his assumption. Again, you read it. He's obviously, I'm not doing proper justice. You can read it yourself. It's on the Makoshet. Okay, that is a fascinating machlokas. The Pashut Shat, the Rove Poskim, the standard sock of Orthodox Judaism, is not like the Chazan Ish, and not like the Minchas Asher. Rather, is assuming that electricity is an Ish Rabbanim. Even as Mr. Rabbanim, like it's a Chiddush say it's Mr. Rabbanim because Chazal didn't talk about it. So how could be Mr. Rabbanim Chazal maybe savor against it because they didn't have it? Let's assume it's similar enough to things that the Klal and Nisuk Rabbanan of Molid, Kashtus, it is a Nisuk Rabbanan, but certainly there are those who follow the Chazanish, maybe a lot of people follow the Chazanish, those Hasidim from the Chazasher, who follow the Chazasher. And, you know, it's always good to try to be a little extra careful, but strictly we assume electricity is Usher, Mid Rabbanan. Okay, but nonetheless, that Yerushalmi would lead to the Menchus Usher. Now, basically, Makar Patish ends up becoming a miscellaneous, right? There's no sin in a Makar Patish. There's just a lot of different things that come up in Shas that turn out to be Makar Patish. So let's list some of them, right? What is counts as Makar Patish? So the real list of Makar Patish is found where you think of it, right? Where the most basic sugyas that Mishav Halacha found. After the Mishnah of our of one of our Pasar Achas in the seventh parak. So when we get to Makar Patish, there Rabbi and Zera both say anything Gemar Malacha is anything that's Gemar Malacha is Makar Patish. But also in that sugya, it said a little earlier in that sugya, Hamasatis the Eben B'Shabbos Chayim Shem Makar Patish. Chiseling a stone is Makar Patish. Why that's finishing up the stone. And then we have Hatzor Tzur Bekli on Peh Nizuchuchas Chayim Shemakav Patish. Okay, Tzor Tzur Bekli, you paint a design on a kli, right? So there's a whole deal we're not going to enter with Stephen the Rambam, whether it's Kosev or whether it's Makav Patish. Let's assume if it's really a picture, it's Kosev, just like a nice design. That's not Kosev. That's Makav Patish. That's also finishing it. Or if you blow glass, that's Makav Patish. Right, the Rambam makes sense why it's not bone there. You're not putting things together, right? You can't make glass by putting things together. You make glass by blowing it. I mean, real glass making. So that's Makav Patish. Top of the line, we'll come back to. If you take, it's not so clear exactly what a kufi is, but let's assume you have like threads that are like stuck in the weave of a garment when it's finished being woven. You take them out, that's also Makav Patish. These are all examples of Gemar Malacha. So what are just some examples of Makar Patish, right? A Misates, chiseling, Sartsura Bikli. I don't even think anything like on an easel or whatever, like on a canvas. That's or Kosev. Silently, that's not Kosev. You're not like telling a story. I mean like cave art. Cave art might be more like Kosev, like they're telling the story of, you know, how they killed a bear one day or something, or graffiti, you know, that's Kosev. You're saying, you know, whatever, you know, graffiti is king, whatever you want to make in your graffiti. Or BB thinks he's king, depending on what side you are. But over here, if you just like, I'm swinging and it has like a nice blue stripe around it or something. So that is Matthew Patrick, you're finishing up the kli, or the other example may not have to be so food. That's probably something we don't know how to involve anyway. Tokil, akupe, mean weaming, right? That we'll discuss at greater length. But how about just some other more practical examples? So I just wanted to bring two practical examples from the acronym. One is if you look in your handy dandy Mishnah Berurah, Shinchaf Beis. What? That is, but we're going to get back to it. Sorry, I meant, but we're going to get back to it in a minute. Mishnah Berurah, Shinchat Beis, Sif Katan, Yud Gimel. This is something, did I write the right place?
Yeah, this is something that was came up a little in the Gemara in Beitza about breaking open the containers. He says, what does the Shulchan Aruch talk about here? The Shulchan Aruch here talks about a twig. Pesach. If you take a twig, you can't, it's mukzah. You can't take it to use as a toothpick. But he says, for sure, to break it into shape for a toothpick, that's pashut ke'in tikun kli. And if you do it by hand, it's drabbanan, because it's not a professional malacha. But let's say you cut something to shape. You cut something to a small shape or size that's useful as a kli. That's classic tikun mana, that you make it a kli and you are fine, right? It's not dog, yeah? You're not putting things together. It is tikun mana. So that's a classic example is when he calls shito, which means breaking something to a small size to make it a clean. You do it nicely, it's all right. So it's very roughly, you do it on it, so it's not yad, it's not like much else, but it's still not going to patish. So, you know, for example, let's say, I don't know how many people really do this anymore. Once upon a time, when you need a toothpick, you would like break a little piece off something, put off something, use it as a toothpick. So that would be a sort of not going to patish. Nowadays, you just buy toothpicks in the store. I don't think we're a good example of this, like break something into a good shape that it's useful. So the truth is maybe toilet paper, the Rambam writes that when you cut toilet paper, that is also doesn't make a clean up in the passage. And we discussed, maybe it's Torah, I don't know which it is, but you're right, that could be a good example. That's what you mentioned. That could be an excellent example. Very good. Okay, and another example I just wanted to mention is, which is very Nukhi Elamaisa, is in the Magen Avraham. It's all following the course sheets in Shin Mem. Simon Shin Mem Sukkot Yud Aleph, says the Magen Avraham here. He says, give me a second here. Yeah. Machat Shinit Akma Afilu Ma'at Osir L'Poshta. This is very Nukhi Elamaisa. If your needle got bent, you can't straighten it. Basically, unbending metal. This happens all the time. Let's say your glasses, you know, like the temple of the glasses get bent, can you bend it back into shape? Actually, I'm in the shops. I brought up a folding table up in the basement, and one of the legs was a little bent. Okay, I don't know how that happened. You need a whole, like, figure out which kid is responsible. In the end, it's not really worth it. But you bend it back on Shabbos? The answer is certainly not. That's exactly what this Magen Avraham is trying to say. Osur l'poshta. It's an iser of makom pat. What? Yeah, your spoon. Great example. Let's say you have like a cheaper silverware, right? And the spoon gets bent. You can't bend it back into shape. That is makom pat. By the balance of the it's a great question. Pashtus, yes, but let's question that in a second.
Bending a perfectly, how do you say it? Straightening a bent, right? Breaking to make a plea, or straightening. This is something people are natural in sometimes. People say, oh, it's not really malacha. I'm just like this a little. No big deal. But no, that is makapatish. Straightening bent is makapatish. You just spoon bent. You wait till after Shabbos.
Glasses also. You just have to wait till after Shabbos. Absolutely. Now, the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa does allow for some exceptions. If you look in Tesvav Halacha Nun, he says, "What if your hat got a little smushed? Can you punch it back out? Right? You know what I mean?
That seems like exactly this, and it should be Makir Pash, right?
That's the ultimate run.
So he says it is mutter. He says that's mutter. And he says he doesn't go into like a million details here. He says mutter, that's tesvav halacha nun. He's not the only one. Rebbe Rivia also says it's mutter on page 1135. And he basically says the facts are broken. Like when a spoon is bent, that's really broken. You have to fix it. When your hand gets punched in, it's a lot of shape, and you restore the shape that back there fixed. It's very subtle. I admit, it is a very subtle hakdara. In the Urta Shabbos, he says, let me just read you Urta Shabbos, in Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Hey Dalid, he says, everyone wants to make on this, says it's soft. Okay, now, maybe it's a limit. He says, his hands are soft, so therefore it's not going to be fixing it. Punch it back in shape. While metal is hard. Rariviat says a little different. Rariviat says, because it happens all the time, it's not really broken. That's just how you use it. Okay, so there are two different, of course, those two different materials go together. Why does it happen all the time? Because it's soft. Not mean about being the title's question, but Lamaisa says all these theorem are somewhat mechodesh. I would not venture to take my chances. The way Rivet says it is, because even if it's crushed state, it's still a fixed hack because it's normal for this to happen. And therefore, it's not considered broken. He says, but it was permanently misshapen in a way that was not just like a regular sign, it's like steam or something, that would be considered fixed. So there are two different svaras why you can punch out your hand on Shabbos. One is very riviat because it is common and therefore it's actually broken. The other is, you know, a Shabbos, again, that's good, perfect, gimel, $8 soft. But they obviously are really similar things because they're different, but they go together because soft things often get smushed.
First of all, do we save it for alignment or not?
We do.
Do you apply that to collars and belts?
So, what do you mean belts?
Belts can sometimes get like bent out of shape or straight.
You do?
Belts.
Okay. Yeah, the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa also says collars. He says, also you can, you know, fix the collar if the collar gets unbent, whatever. That seems to be helpful, but that's even less than that. Okay, so the Maisa, when it comes to a hat, says Lamites Malachos, that's Rabbi Riviat. He says Mutter, because it's common. And since it's common, it's just part of using it, it's not broken. And says the Arkos Shabbos, Yud Gimel Eidalid, Mutter, because it's soft. So you're not really doing anything. I assume it's a very hard hat. I don't know where you draw the line exactly. There, Lamites Malachos, what did I say was on page 1135? Page 1135. Okay, yes.
Can we not even die just from the fact that Makabu Patish is like talking about a hammer that anything that has like zero force would not apply to it?
I mean, I guess that's what the Ursh House is.
All right, because I thought really
the thing, since it's soft, therefore,
I thought really wasn't convinced.
I said it for sure. Maybe there are two different reasons. I said, like, if we only had the Lamites Malachos reason, but now the Urcha Shabbos reason, I wouldn't be making. Like, let's say there's a spoon that always got bent, then I wouldn't be making. Especially since maybe you'd say, but in general, that's how spoons work, you know. But yeah, hats for me.
Okay. The header is solid.
Meaning, even though that it has to put things together, this is about, right, it's a similar thing. I would say it's parallel. Here's my potash, the bone egg. According to Rosh, correct. Okay, correct. Yes. Okay, let's just at least start talking about one of these sugyas, which is chocolate pooping and cleaning, right?
that there is an interesting discussion of,
right? If you look at the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Shin Beis, Seif Beis, he has a whole discussion of Akufi Miglimi. There is a whole sif of Shulchan Aruch about Shakal Akufi Miglimi. What? Taking, well, let's see what Akufi is. The Gemara says when you finish weaving a garment, if you take off the Akufi, then that's Makabe Patish. What exactly is the Akufi? So Rashi says, what does Rashi say Akufi is? Rashi says, Akufi means the extra strings that are like stuck in the weave. He doesn't mean you like break the strings of the weave. Those strings, like you took care of, those strings get stuck in the weave, or maybe when you tied something, whatever. So you take out these extra strings, and between Kufi and Kispin, like little piece of straw or twigs or something. Basically, any extraneous objects that got stuck in the weave, you take out, that's Akufi. The Rambam, whose Lashon is in the Mechaber, is a little different. He says, Haloket Yabolos. Yabolos means like little buzz balls, right? Some sort of like buzz. Okay, but the Mishnah Berurah doesn't think it's a Machlokes, says the Mishnah Berurah here in Sif Katan. In 1 second, I'm in this one. Here it is. In Sif Katan Beis. But who had in Kashma Kisman Dakin, etc. Meaning anything that like you have to take off, whether it's a bolus or a buzz ball, whether it is extra springs or sticks or tiny slivers, tiny slivers of wood or straw or anything that got stuck in there during the weaving process, when you take that out, which is the last process of finishing the clothing. That is an Isra Daraisa of Makev Patish. And let's just finish up the Machaber. Shin Beis Beis. Quoting the Rambam, locate Yabol Shal Gavim Gadim, to Elo Yabol Shal Beklit Semer Nish Arba Him and Arbigo, which are left from the weaving. That's an important phrase. Chai Yavishu Makav Patish. But the Gemara adds a word. So add the Gemara, Bahani Mila De Kapitalai, only for Makbid, and adds the Mechaber Hushay Yakbid Aleihem. Okay, what does it mean only for Makbid? Apparently, if you're Makbid, that's Makbid of law. If you're not Makbid, that's a Makbid Patish. It's only Makbid Patish, something that you're Makbid, therefore it's Hashem, it's finishing the law. If you're not Makbid, then you're just doing Stam. Stam is not Makbid Patish. Anyone want to tell me what's Makbid Rishonin about Makbid? What does it mean Makbid?
Let's say I have this newly woven garment. I know our modern garments don't have this. Right? Hold on.
Recording always in progress.
If you're just fidgeting, then that's not chayav. So says the Rambam. Makbid means you remove them on purpose. If you remove them on purpose, you're obviously makbid. Why else would you remove them? You know, makbid means you're just fidgeting. You never just fidget and remove things from your clothing that you need to remove. What does that? Okay, not fidgeting.
However, Rashi says differently. Rashi says not fidgeting in the old days. Rashi says, certainly what it sounds like. Let's see, does Rashi say it explicitly? No, Rashi doesn't say it explicitly. Who does the, let's see, who the Beis Yosef attributes this to? He says, He doesn't say, but we'll call it the Taz. The Taz says, obviously, this is shot, and no one could have disagreed with it.
Right? Says the Taz. He says, even the Rambam agrees. Says, no, it means you wouldn't wear the baguette like that. Matbid means I can't wear the baguette because it's not wearable. I think about it in public. I'm embarrassed. Anamakbid means you prefer to remove these akufin, but you would wear the baguette anyway. I'd like to remove that, but I'd rather, I'd like to remove that, but if I'm stuck, I'm gonna die. But basically, if you could remove them, would you wear the clothing? Probably. I would change my clothes. I would stay home. I wouldn't walk in the street. Then you're mocking. So it's very different. I mean, a normal case of, let's say, a normal guy like us. So mocking on these things. Like, we go out, however. We don't worry that people are looking at some junk in our clothing. But on the other hand, let's make it me. So according to Rambam, that's called mocking. According to the Taz, which maybe is the Pasuk's not the usual use of the word makbid, it's called enomakbid. But you see what they're all struggling with. What's the case of enomakbid if you're doing it? It's either say you're fidgeting, or no, doing it is enomakbid. It's only if you wouldn't wear it otherwise makbid. Why? You call makbid a patch, it has to make a black and white difference from non-usable to usable. That's my hope, right? The problem is, it's only not possible to took something non-usable, made it useful. And you're Hashkafa, your subjective method. No, anytime you improve something, that's not compatish. But only if you wanted to improve it. You know, not if you were just pitching. How do we paskin? Says the Sharat Zion in Yud Aleph. He says, "Be'ikra din lo nuchal varki ba'or zarur ben yirucham ra'isi kam kinka tor." Okay, that's the tor. That's what I was looking for. The tor. And the Orzarua and the Rabbinic Yerucham, the Ramban goes to the Machaber and goes to the Taz. He says, even the Ramban agrees, Machaber, most Achronim, and the Mishnah Berura. The Mishnah Berura passed like the Ramban, but it's good enough, says, really, it's stated in Dina. Where Machber Misapig says the Shar Tzion, says the Shar Tzion Yud Aleph. Okay, halach l'maisa though, the Magen Avraham quotes from the Sefer HaZichronos, and the Rebbe Akiva Eger the Daikeler in the Rambam, and says, you know what? There's not enough to be in this machlokas anyway. Why? Because if it's ain't no machlokas, it's not chaya, but
it's still usher drop on that.
Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, look at the Machaber. Potter means potter of all usher. And the Magen Avraham quotes that Mefurshim, the Sefer Zichronos. He quotes the Sefer Zichronos, who said that over Sefer Zichronos kasab, afilu ainu makbid, it's usher. And Rabbi Akiva Eger says here, over Sefer Zichronos kasab, So what did we say?
This is the Sefer HaZichronos, the Magen Avraham, the Rabbi Akiva Eger, the Mishnah Berura, etc. Therefore, the mice. It's only what looks at the right side. You're on it, you're never allowed to remove that.
So therefore, you can never remove these things from your clothing. Let's just go.
The Shulchan is that if you see someone fidgeting, you should tell them to stop. If you see someone taking off his fidgeting, you should tell them to stop, don't do it.
No, it's not misasik. They're fidgeting, it's not misasik. They're doing it, they're just not doing it for a good reason. Okay. Okay. So let's just finish up three ha'aros. Okay. Number one, the Magen Avraham says, if the tailor makes like some big stitches and then you have to take them off so they don't belong in the end of the garment, that's something we believe. That's pretty posh. Okay, the gears there is a little funny, but we're not going to get into it. Number two, the Mishnah quotes the Rambam that if you shake off the white stuff that's on your clothing from the, I don't know which white stuff it was, from the weaving, that's also a certain note of details. We'll get into that. The main question is, how is that relevant to us? How is that relevant to us? What would we take off of our garments?
The price tag.
How about a price tag? Right?
Or let's go ahead and
right? Let's start with how about taking off a price tag. So look at the Ramah at the end of Sif Yud says, Avol Motor Lahasar Hanotzos when I beg it Bishabis. The Ramah right before the Sif says, you can take feathers off the clothing on Shabbos. That's not any malacha, not liba, not anything else. Why? Says the Sharatzion Sipkat and Test. He says, he says at the end, he says, how about getting thorns out of your clothing? It's mutter, the Rambam says. Why is it mutter to take thorns out of your clothing? Tainach, you can take feathers out of your clothing because they're not in, they're just on. What are thorns? So he says, because Shani Shu Malacha Umnan Osno saw after base gummer with him, Malacha Hashu became more or less around because of Zach Moshe Umnan Osin. Says the Rambam, he talks about Moshe Umnan Osin, basically part of the production process. This is all talking about part of the production process. Within the weaving, he gets a barn body, they have to take them out, and that's part of the production process. What if you just happen to get a thorn in your clothing because you walk by a thorn bush? That's not part of the umnus of production process, and therefore that's not maket bit potish. And therefore, if you look at, for example, the Orch HaShabbos, Perek Yud Aleph, and we're not going to be able to finish this in you now. I just didn't, maybe I shouldn't have. He says, a price tag, with you know, one of those plastic things that connects the price tag? He says, you're allowed to take it off, and it's not a problem of Makim Patish. Why? Yud Aleph, Yud Aleph. He says in the footnote, because this is not part of making the garment, like, it's already made, then they put on a price tag. That's like a thorn. Anything that's not part of how you make it, but after it made something gets into it, that's not makim patish. That's just keeping your clothing clean. And likewise, says the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, and maybe with this we will end, says the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa in, yes, the Bishar Tzion Tess, who says it's only something that's done by Umnin as part of creating it. If you look in the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa Perek Tes Vav, he has a lot of these different examples. But for example, when I put on the Makor sheet, Samaches, you're allowed to take off. You know how when you buy a shirt, it has like a pin in it to keep it folded? You're allowed to take off that pin on Shabbos. Why? Isn't that like taking off the strings? No, the strings are part of the manufacturing. Here it was already manufactured, then they just wanted to fold it. And he says, but you're not allowed to take out stitches that were made by the tailor. Because those are part of the manufacturing process. He also says you're not allowed to wipe off the chalk marks left by the tailor. That's also part of the manufacturing process. Maybe that's like the white stuff that the Rambam says you can't shake out. Okay, but that's a conscious summit test. And summit the test is you can take out something added later, like a price tag would be pinned in the folded up shirt. That's not a kufig nida. Kufig nida is only part of the manufacturing process. Not things that got on your shirt, whether on purpose or by accident. A purpose, price tag, or the pins, or by accident. You walk by thorns. You have to take thorns out of your shirt. That's mutter, so it's not part of the manufacturing process.
In plans to whisper that fellow, meaning that's not part of the manufacturing process, that's this habit your shirt is wearing off.
That's interesting. What about a loose thread that is part of your shirt? But it wasn't made that way. You just got a loose thread afterwards. How about taking that out? That is a great question. Okay, maybe we'll pick up with that next time. What? Yeah, it just, I don't know how to think about it. Okay.
This is not
Borer because it's not a Torah of us, correct.
You can't say that the thorns in your jacket are tarots.
So this would allow mixture. This would allow someone to like mint their shirt.
Yeah, so what about a lint roller on up in the sock with holes?
Yeah.
Really?
What about especially in certain places when it's dusty and it's like, you know, tough to get gross.
On black suit.
Wolf
suit get all that. No, so dust is a problem that could be leave on up with my pot.
Yeah, you don't use that for dust. Use the
whatever for stuff. Not dust. I'm using the wrong
thing. White stuff.
Yeah. Right, so cat hair would for sure be okay. First of all, that's like notes of that on your clothing, it's not even in your clothing. That would push it being okay. Right, Rob says notes of. Notes of aren't even inside, they're just on the surface. That would push it being okay. But Kiddush and the Shabriers, even third, fourth, and sequels to the Rob Ultra and the clothing are still okay. So it wasn't part of the manufacturing, it was just a problem they came up later. So what about a lint roller? So it seems from here like a lint roller should be okay because it's just lint that comes on later. Okay, maybe we'll pick up with that also.
And I've seen, maybe in the Rivia, brushing your hat. Like, I guess that's dust. That would be a problem.
No, so, yeah, you see, there's a different problem. When you brush the dust off your hat, that is a libra problem. That's a different Indian topic.
Why
you can't be taking thorns off or price tags is Liban.
Because we assume
that's
dust
not the nature of Liban is to get up dirt.
We assume dust is mountain.
Yes, if dust is in it, which it usually is.
Is that Quincy's dust, like as opposed to anything else that flies in, that's in it as opposed to on it?
Yeah, that's what the Rambam was saying about the notes. He says, unlike dust, which is in, sorry, if I just go back to meaning this chart, see almost as a tangent of Notzos talking about thorns and that tied into price tags and things like that. But what was the original marker of the context, sorry, of the Ramah, is that Yesh Omer She'asol in our Begad and Ha'avak She'olav. You're not allowed to shake dust off your clothing. The Tov Lachos L'Tvara, but the Notzos, taking feathers off are totally okay. And why, says the Mishaburah, because the notes are not inside it, they're on it. They're on the surface, which implies that the reason it's us to kick the dust is because it is inside it. And even the Ramah says, by the dust will be told, the Mishaburah says, no, we're really machmer on dust. But that's the difference, that kibus is, or libun, is taking out the dirt that's inside it. That's somewhat of an oversimplification. So it could be if it's really stuck hard to it, that would also be Liban, even if it's not inside. But certainly, Makuli Alma, everyone agrees, taking off what's inside is Liban, and the Notzos and the cat ears are outside, so it's not Liban. And it's also not Makabe Patish, because even if it would be inside, still, it's not part of the manufacturing
process. A lint roller wouldn't take out dust, is that insane?
What?
A lint roller wouldn't take out
dust. I have no idea.
Wouldn't?
Thank you.
Do that. What is it?
I've done it.